KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, we have showers and thunderstorms, 42 degrees in Atlantic. We're looking for occasional showers and thunderstorms today with a high near 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And taking a look at area news, the Iowa State Patrol has released details about an accident that happened Sunday afternoon on Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County. Officials said a 1999 GMC Yukon and a 2009 Volvo semi pulling a tanker were both traveling east on I-80 at around 2 p.m. when the Yukon tried to overtake the semi in the left lane. As the vehicle was passing, the camper and trailer it was pulling began to sway back and forth. The driver of the Yukon, 37-year-old Matthew Schroat of Estes Park, Colorado, was unable to control his vehicle, which hit the semi on the driver's side. The semi and tanker, driven by 59-year-old John Steen of Elkhorn, entered the south ditch and rolled onto its right side. The rig is registered to Transport Service Company out of Oak Brook, Illinois. The GMC and its trailer jackknifed and came to rest in the median. There were no injuries reported, and the patrol says no hazardous materials were released during the incident, which occurred near the Avoca exit. Officials say Schroat was cited for failure to maintain control. Damage from the accident amounted to $52,000. News time is 8:04.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A former Southwest Iowa resident is facing a felony murder charge in Texas. According to the Omaha World-Herald, 20-year-old Tyler Miller, a 2010 graduate of the Shenandoah High School, is accused in the fatal beating of 47-year-old Baldemar Perez. Another man, 21-year-old Christopher Padilla, was also arrested in connection with the March 29th incident, which occurred in San Antonio. Both men were charged with murder in the first degree. Padilla is also suspected of committing a robbery at about midnight before he and Miller beat Perez to death. He was charged also with robbery in the second degree, and that's also a felony offense. 35-year-old Oscar Pena, who was in the home where Miller and Perez were arrested, was taken into custody on numerous warrants, but is not a suspect in the murder case. Authorities say they believe the attack on Perez was a random incident that began with a series of crimes at a local strip club. Both men were being held in the Bexar County, Texas jail, where Miller's bond was set at $250,000. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports a Corning man was arrested Monday afternoon in Adams County on a charge of domestic assault. Also faces an additional charge of concealing a weapon, in this case a handgun, without a permit. The charge is an aggravated misdemeanor. 24-year-old Cody Austin Sanson was arrested at around 1:45 a.m. Sunday. He was transported to the Adams County Jail. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday no injuries were reported following a single vehicle rollover accident Monday afternoon. That occurred at around 12:25 p.m. on Tucson Road near 740th Street. Officials say a 2002 Oldsmobile Alero, owned and driven by 62-year-old Michael Lee Hurd of Clarinda, was traveling eastbound on Tucson Road when Hurd lost control of the vehicle, which rolled into the north ditch. Damage to the vehicle is estimated at $5,000. The Harlan Police Department yesterday released their weekly arrest reports. An official said on April the 12th, 18-year-old Jenna McDaniel of Harlan was arrested on an active Shelby County warrant issued as the result of a domestic disturbance on December 30th of 2012. McDaniel was transported to the Shelby County Jail. On Monday, 41-year-old Anthony Thrain of Harlan was taken into custody when it was reported he was in violation of a no-contact order issued between him and Rebecca Shaban, also of Harlan. Thrain was taken to the Shelby County Jail and charged with a violation. Also arrested on Monday was 39-year-old Patricia Welsh of Shelby. She was taken into custody following a traffic stop and then taken to the Shelby County Jail, where she was charged with driving while barred and cited for failure to obey a stop sign. On April 10th, officers of the Harlan Police Department responded to an accident. Sue Ellen Smith of Harlan was driving northbound on 8th Street when she proceeded through a stop sign, not seeing a Buick driven by Colin Foos of Portsmouth. Foos was driving westbound on Durant at the time. His vehicle was struck on the left rear side by Smith's 2012 Chevrolet. Damages from the incident amounted to $950 to Foos's car, while Smith's car sustained $500 damage. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, an Iowa man who robbed banks with his wife is asking for a sentence that will perhaps let him see his teenage children again. Jeffrey and Roxanna Schoon are scheduled to be sentenced today in Sioux City. The couple have pleaded guilty to robbing four banks within 20 miles of their Wall Lake home in December of 2011 and January 2012. Investigators say the pair then got married in Las Vegas. Jeffrey Schoon told the judge in a letter that he's raised an 18-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son who has cystic fibrosis. Jeffrey Schoon asked the judge to adopt a plea agreement that requires a 15-year sentence. He says the average lifespan of someone with cystic fibrosis is 30, so the deal gives hope his family someday will be reunited. If you're financially fit or not, you can take the first step in finding out by attending a Lunch and Learn seminar on Monday, April 22nd at the Cass County Extension Office. The class allows participants to do a quick assessment of their current financial status and find resources to help them take a more active role in managing their personal finances. Kate Olson, Cass County Extension Program Coordinator, said April 22nd marks the beginning of Money Smart Week with events held all over the nation, so locally they wanted to do something to tie into that and encourage people to start thinking about the small things they can do or the changes they can make to improve their financial management. They'll start with a quick financial fitness quiz during the seminar so people can find out where they're at and look at some of the best practices and practical tips to help people get to where they want to be financially. The class is designed to be easy for those to attend over their lunch hour, and it'll start a few minutes after noon and go for about 45 minutes to allow you plenty of time to get back to work. There is no charge to attend, and you're encouraged to bring your own sack lunch if you'd like to eat while participating in the class. There's no pre-registration required. All you need to do is to show up or call the Cass County Extension Office in Atlantic at 243-1132 or visit them online at www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, investigators in the Boston Marathon bombing are combing surveillance tapes from businesses around the finish line, and they're asking the public to come forward with photos, video, or any information that might lead them to who carried out the attack that killed three people and wounded more than 170. The FBI is circulating information about the bombs used, which were packed in pressure cookers, along with nails and other lethal shrapnel. The father of one of the three people who died in the Boston Marathon bombings was at first told that his daughter had survived, but that she was in surgery and could lose a leg. When William Campbell arrived at Massachusetts General Hospital, however, he learned that his daughter, 29-year-old Crystal Campbell, had died. Crystal's grandmother, Lillian Campbell, told multiple media outlets that her granddaughter and a friend were together at the marathon and lay side by side on the ground after the bombs went off. Somewhere on the way to the hospital, their names got mixed up. The FBI says an envelope addressed to Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker will have to undergo further analysis before officials can confirm whether it contains the poison ricin. The FBI says initial tests on the white granular substance produced mixed results. The envelope was intercepted at a Senate mail facility outside of Washington and was immediately quarantined. And the funeral for the 25-year-old U.S. diplomat killed in Afghanistan will be held this morning near Chicago. Amy Smettinghoff was killed in a bombing along with four other Americans as they walked from a military base to a nearby school in southern Afghanistan to deliver books. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in the funeral announcements this morning, Wanda Jewell, age 76 of Harlan, died Thursday in Council Bluffs. A memorial service for Wanda Jewell will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Harold Kidd McLaughlin, age 88 of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Harold McLaughlin will be today at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Barbara Havens Harris, age 83 of Wyota, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Barbara Harris will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Hugh Rusty Bailey, age 60 of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Rusty Bailey will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Jean Sulgrove Lowry, age 90, of San Diego and formerly of Bridgewater, died Sunday at the home of her son in Des Moines. Funeral services for Jean Lowry will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Louis Andreessen, age 80, of Manning, died Saturday. Funeral services for Louis Andreessen will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Bonnie Moore, age 80, of Oakland and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Visitation for Bonnie Moore will be held from 4 until 7 p.m. on Thursday at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dean Stiles, age 76, of Dexter, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Dean Stiles will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Dexter United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. And Richard Hochstetter, age 55, of Greenfield, died this morning at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Richard Hochstetter are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.